Liberation of the Church. Liberation spells its opposite, bondage. God's people have been in a world controlled by Satan. They have been enslaved by sin. By the grace of Jesus Christ, they have been freed from the power of sin in their lives. The liberation of the church is God's emancipation of his people from the presence of sin, from Satan's bondage, Satan's leadership, and his dictatorship. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Let's bear this in mind. We have all kinds of forebodings and wonderings. Let us remember that the Lord is not slack, as men count slackness, that God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Part number one, the seventh plague. When the seventh vial was poured out, a great voice from heaven proclaimed, "It is done." Jesus Christ is the finisher. After he created this planet, man upon it, the heavens and the earth were finished. When he had completed his atoning sacrifice on Calvary, he says, "It is finished." When he addresses the Father, he says, "I have finished the work that thou callest me to do." Then we read here, when this further aspect of the plan of salvation reaches its consummation, the voice says, "It is done." In Revelation 20, we see again, "It is done," when he makes a new heavens and a new earth. He finishes. We on earth just quit working. Jesus Christ finishes. And when he finishes this aspect and is ready to come to gather his people, many things occur. Lightnings, voices, thunderings, a gigantic earthquake, the great world organization known as Babylon, confusion compounded and united to destroy God's people. The cities of the nation that have become like Sodom and Gomorrah fall. The mountains that possibly have been covering the sacred dust of ancient saints moved away so that the guardian angels can welcome to life those who have been sleeping in their dusty graves. Great hailstones fall upon the earth and reduce it to utter ruin. Part number two, at the hour of utmost extremity. The coming of Jesus Christ to rescue his saints is at midnight. A sign of greatest darkness, when God's people are suffering most intensely, when the death decree seems to be about to be carried out, when all the saints feel that they are now to be destroyed, when there is not a glimmer of light upon this earth, it is then that Jesus Christ returns. As they go through that midnight hour, they are pressed with every difficulty and affliction that it is possible for Satan to bring upon them. Threatened with extermination, surrounded by hatred, not allowed to buy or sell, driven from their homes into mountain and desert areas, thrown into horrible dungeons, faced with possible torture, with every earthly help gone, God's people suffer great anguish. It is at this juncture that the many promises of the Lord focus. The Lord declares, I will help, I will deliver, I will save. In Psalm 91, he promises, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold. The saints will see 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at the other side. As we think of the first part of this Sabbath school lesson and all the earthquakes and thunders and lightnings and the moving out of the mountains and the islands being swallowed up and the great hailstorm, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It shall not come nigh thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Part number 3. These events will be cataclysmic. They will be earth-shaking. They will be earth-destructive. Every work of man will be reduced to rubble and ruin. What the earthquake produces is awe-inspiring. The mountains will move from their places. We think of the Andes and the Rockies. We think of the Himalayas and the Alps. Just imagine these great mountain ranges tottering, moving over the vast populated areas that surround them. Think of islands disappearing. Think of cities after cities, thousands of cities Ellen White describes. Death will reign everywhere. Jeremiah 4 describes these events. Zephaniah chapter 1, when it's all over, prophet looks over a picture of earthly chaos and he doesn't see a single living thing. Thus will the second coming of Christ produce cataclysm. Part number 4. Sudden change. Sudden destruction. Sudden redemption. At midnight, the sun will suddenly be seen shining. The darkness will disappear. There will be seen the bow of promise. Black, angry clouds that covered the firmament part. And just as Stephen gazed from the place of his dying through to the place of Christ's triumph in heaven, so the saints will look up and see the parted firmament and Christ upon his throne. They will hear the voice, the shepherd's voice, look up. And looking up, they will see Jesus about to come to rescue them. Part number 5. Further events are described. The wicked Christians realize that they have been misled by their false shepherd. They will turn upon their deceptive pastors who have preached peace, peace, when there was no peace. There will be war, bloodshed, carnage, pillage. The sights are beyond description. This is the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even until that same time. Then it is that God arose to judgment. Then it is that Michael arose up from his throne, that he stood up, ready to come down in the second advent, part number 6, to gather together his people. Now what the Bible teaches about the second coming of Christ is extremely vital. Every eye will see. As the lightning shines from the east and goes to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus comes, he comes with the glory of the Father, with all the holy angels, and his own glory. There will be the voice of the archangel. The trumpet shall sound. The wicked will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. The righteous will be called to life and light and immortality. In our next lesson, we shall continue the study of the second advent.